Great Country Q94. It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we talked about fun stuff. We talked about Rendezvous and the Citizens Academy, but I don't even remember. This was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. It was before we recorded the last time.
Yes, yeah. And I said that I wanted to talk about it, but we needed to dedicate a specific amount of time.
Sure.
Because I have a lot of questions.
Okay, let's go.
So there was a very large drug bust. Was it in the city limits of...
Yeah, it was in La Crosse.
And I forget. You'll have to explain exactly what happened. So they had a search warrant for a house...
Yeah, I don't know all the details. I just know that they had a search warrant for the house and located a bunch of drugs there and I think a storage unit at some point in time.
Yeah.
So.
Now, when you say a bunch of drugs, and I think I said this off air, 135 pounds of pressed counterfeit Xanax. That's a human. Pounds.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
So, okay, I'm gonna look at this. Okay, 135 pounds of pressed counterfeit Xanax. What is counterfeit Xanax?
It's a great question. I know what Xanax is. I guess I don't know if they had the ingredients that make Xanax or if they were pressing pills and selling it as Xanax, but it really wasn't. So I don't know those details.
Well,
there's a charge for selling fake drugs.
Well, yeah.
So if you purport that what you're selling them is cocaine or in this case Xanax, mm-hmm. you can be charged for selling that fake drug.
So what my question was is, so the next it says 1 pound of fentanyl located next to Xanax station and most likely used in pills.
Yeah.
So my question was, were they putting fentanyl in the counterfeit Xanax so it would pass as Xanax?
Yeah, I would say that they would.
And then it was actually like fentanyl.
Yeah, I would guess. I don't know the details, but fentanyl is commonly used as a cutting agent for other drugs. And so what I would guess is they either were using fake some type mm-hmm. of powder, right, as Xanax and adding fentanyl to it, so they did get some type of
high.
Some type of high from it. It wasn't maybe a Xanax high, it was probably a fentanyl high, but they could still say, oh man, I feel the effects of this, so it must be good stuff.
Or if you pull somebody over and you open their and they search their purse, oh, they have Xanax.
Yep. Yeah, so
not fentanyl.
Yeah, so a pill press mm-hmm. is pretty unique. We don't find those, right?
Right.
So I'm guessing that they were pressing Xanax pills, and again, if I got pulled over or stopped and the officer had reason to search me, they would find pills, and the label on the pills or the press mm-hmm. of the numbers or letters on the pill would purport that it's Xanax.
Yeah.
Now, you would have to have a prescription for that.
Well, exactly.
But it at least wouldn't be a fentanyl charge.
It's not going to red flag you as much as
definitely
a pound of meth.
Yes.
So a pound of fentanyl, though,
right?
I feel like is also a lot because fentanyl is very powerful.
Yeah, a pound of fentanyl is a lot of fentanyl. And but in the grand scheme of things, I mean, in drug labs, mm-hmm. let's talk about Mexico real quick.
Yep.
In those labs, they're getting 35 pound barrels of fentanyl, and so a pound here is a lot, but there's probably pounds in many locations around our country, unfortunately, and mass quantities at drug
right yeah
places
yeah.
that make
a pound
drugs.
Here yeah. is just, yeah. is not that
I mean,
much
it's a lot
it's but, a lot but yeah. but yeah you used the word cutting agent before,
right?
What is so I don't know. What does that mean?
Well, I mean...
Because when I imagine cutting drugs, like I imagine like the credit card that you see on the movies.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, so if I'm a drug dealer and I get a pound of methamphetamine, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say an ounce of methamphetamine, sometimes in Purdachine sells for anywhere from $1,200 an ounce to $1,400 an ounce. Sometimes there's a fluctuation here and there. In La Crosse, in my experience anyways... An ounce of methamphetamine costs anywhere from $650 to $950, depending
so it's
on
cheaper
how much.
In La Crosse.
Yes, definitely cheaper in La Crosse. Most oftentimes, dealers that go from La Crosse to Puerto Chin can double their money.
Oh, okay.
And so that's a problem, right?
Yes.
So a cutting agent, if I get a pound of methamphetamine sent to me from a drug courier and I want to maximize my profits, I'm going to find some other type of substance to then add to that pound of methamphetamine to then give me 2 pounds of methamphetamine that is less pure, but I now have 2 pounds of product that I can sell. Sometimes they cut that with fentanyl to increase the, you know, potency. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they cut it with fentanyl because that's what they have. Other times it's cut with other agents as well. But you get more then, and you can sell more, and you can purport to have more product when really it may be just a little less pure, cut with more things.
So now I'm understanding when I'm watching movies and I'm reading books and they're talking about like the pure, the oh, this is the good stuff. It's because it's not used as many cutting agents.
Right. Yeah. It could have. And sometimes, you know, if I'm a lower level dealer, I might get 4 ounces of that cut product, mm-hmm. and then add my own cutting agent to it, mm. and then double, you know, my quantity,
yeah,
as well.
So now you have 8 pounds. Yeah.
So
and,
it could be,
yeah.
It could be cut several times by the time it gets to the end user.
All right. So it was like more than $1 million worth of street drugs or street value of all this. Like I'm imagining like Bad Boys type, yeah. amounts of drugs.
Yeah.
And I've seen the pictures before of Phoenix and Rico, sure, yep. and I can't think of the Crawford County Sheriff's Department's Breck.
Yep.
With their, you know, what they've recovered.
Yep.
And I've also seen the evidence room at the Prairie du Chien Police Station.
Right.
What happens to those drugs?
So typically we hold those drugs through the course of the trial and the sentencing and the person that's sitting in prison or jail or wherever, whatever they get sentenced to. We take small samples of that to field test it, first and foremost, which is very small, like a gram or less, mm-hmm. quarter gram even. So we'll field test that. We also sent samples to Madison to get a scientific test, you know, through certified labs there. They report back to us and to the district attorney's office to say, yes, this is, in fact, whatever drug it is, and this is the quantity that we received. This is how we tested it, and this is the result of that. And so we don't send, like if we get a pound of methamphetamine, we don't send that whole pound to get tested. Mm. We just send a small portion of it to get tested. So we typically hold that and store that until we contact the, you know, the crime lab or the DEA and say, hey, we've got an abundance of drugs here we need to dispose of. And they provide us with disposal instructions, and we drop it off or ship it, and it's destroyed.
So... And I've watched movies on this before, but there's ways of tracing, or at least in TV and in movies. Oh, hey, we've got these pills with this marking on it.
Oh, sure.
Has anybody else gotten these pills? Like, should you have, you know, I guess I'm assuming, but the pills that they confiscated will get sent to a lab and go, oh, hey, we've seen pills with that marking.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, again, I don't know all the details on this case, but typically drug manufacturers will have a signature stamp. Like,
yes,
this is our
stamp. That's what I meant.
Yeah, this is the product.
Which
this is our stamp.
Seems really dumb in hindsight.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it makes your job easier.
Well, yes, that and really the end user knows or has some type of level of comfort that I got high off of this last week.
Like, I really enjoy Boda Box. I know what I'm going to get every time I get a Boda Box.
There you go. Yeah, that's what it is.
I know exactly how my Boda Box is going to taste.
There you go.
They're like, oh, it's got the triple X's. This is the good
or
Anna.
The star or the fish or whatever they want to put on it. Yeah.
I feel a little bit like 21 Jump Street right now.
Well, geez, we weren't even involved in this. We're just talking about it.
As I'm asking all these questions.
No,
so again, getting to the bigger part about this, is we're talking about a drug bust that happened in La Crosse. We've talked about this a lot. We've talked a lot about it off air.
Yeah.
Talked about it in the Citizens Academy too. If anybody listening did not think that Prairie du Chien has some sort of relevance to this drug bust.
Yeah, you know... the vast majority of our drug cases can be traced to La Crosse. We do have some that are traced to Cedar Rapids, Dubuque, once in a while Madison, Milwaukee area. But the vast majority of them are traced to La Crosse. I have the fortunate ability to teach a class, and I interact with La Crosse cops and lieutenants and sergeants and assistant chiefs and chiefs. And I often bring that to their attention, like, thank you very much for busting these people, because that means there's less drugs that are being carried down the river to Prairie du Chien. And so we appreciate their efforts. And Casey Cox works really closely with their La Crosse has its own drug enforcement efforts, and then there's a MEG unit, which is an area group of agencies that get together and work drug cases as well in that area. So we work closely with those folks. One of the drug cases I worked just before I was promoted to chief was a federal drug case. It was actually turned into a wiretap case, and that was a La Crosse connection as well. We arrested somebody here in Prairie du Chien for just a simple possession case. That case evolved into, when the tornado went through McGregor. Mm-hmm. We were doing an undercover drug buy during that storm, and I was trying to cancel it. And I was like, is there any chance we could cancel this?
There's a tornado coming? Yeah, okay, I don't need my drugs right now.
But again, they were coming down from La Crosse, and they were doubling their money, because once we arrested those folks in Prairie du Chien, we went to La Crosse and proceeded to buy other ounces of methamphetamine undercover again for half of the cost that we paid for them in Prairie du Chien. And so that case evolved and again turned into a federal wiretap case, which was tracked back to Van Nuys, California, as the main source of the drugs that were being shipped to La Crosse via Postal Service. And so That was a very interesting case to work.
And I'm guessing the drugs in California were probably coming from either overseas or Mexico.
Mexico, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so, you know, that's the connection of drug use and addiction in Prairie du Chien is the one step north, 60 miles to La Crosse, and then a connection to Van Nuys, California, and then a connection in Mexico. So that's how those dominoes kind of fall. And the target in La Crosse, ultimately, she went to federal prison. She was a later aged female with kids and grandkids, and she ended up having to go to federal prison over it.
Kyle, we can write a TV show about this or a book. I don't know.
It was one of those cases that's
like grandma
kind of,
got caught with federal charges.
Yeah, it's really not as glamorous as
selling drugs.
It's really a sad case, to be quite honest with you. There's a lot more to it that I'm not going to share on air. But
of course.
Yeah, it was a rather unfortunate case. In the end, it was good that we got the drugs off the street, but at the same time, it was heartbreaking because you saw the level of addiction, and it was addiction to drugs, and it was addiction to money as well. There was a lot of money, and at the end of it, we estimated right around $1 million in sales per year were being going through that type of system. So,
what is the line in 21 Jump Street? Infiltrate the dealer, find the supplier.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that it? I don't know. Because now, obviously. And you talked about this, you arrested somebody on a simple possession case,
right.
Which of course you're always going to, arrest them and whatnot. But the end goal there has to be, okay, yes, we found somebody with methamphetamine or, whatever.
Yep.
Where did that come from? And how do we make that go? How do we not have that in our community?
Yeah. It's one of those things that we get, bashed on quite a bit, for lack of a better term, of our small town users get back out and we use them and their knowledge and their information. Well, we interview those folks, and when they tell us, hey, I'm addicted, I know I need help, I want the help, and a way for me to get help is to turn in my supplier and tell you who that person is so they have some consequences and can maybe stop calling me and offering me these drugs and maybe stop that flow of addiction that direction, right?
Addiction, I think that's another key that the non-drug user, somebody who's very blissfully ignorant, yes, you can arrest somebody on a possession charge, you can hold them in jail for how long, but they get out, and what you just said, that dealer has product that they need to move.
Yeah, and the problem is
they want to get rid of it.
Yeah, and the conversation I have with these users is you're really $40.
Yes.
You're not Lori. You're not John.
You're not their friends.
You're not Susie. You are $40. That's entirely what it is. And so they give us information that kind of leads up the food chain, but I have tasked my staff and particular Lieutenant Cox with finding the sources of the product coming into Prairie du Chien. That is our end goal. That is what we need to try to tackle. And the Wisconsin Department of Justice has been huge helps with us, and they jump in, and when there's large couriers and you know, organized, like the case I talked about, they want that information. They want to help us with those cases, and they've helped us tremendously. So, you know,
I guarantee also that place in California wasn't just shipping it to the one lady.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know those details, but I would guess probably not. There's a lot of money involved, and money makes the world go round. So,
well, and you know, people will do a lot of things for money.
They will. They will.
I mean, you guys worked a case with La Crosse County. I feel like back when we started doing Coffee with Kyle.
Well, there for a long time. Well, like I said, Lieutenant Cox was going to La Crosse very often and working with their drug unit up there, and getting some good results up there as far as folks that were bringing drugs down the river again and preying on our addicted folks here in Prairie du Chien and Crawford County. And just continue to work well with them, and it's been a process. So,
well, and like I want to, that's what I want to focus on too. Is again, yes, we can bash cops that, hey, you know that this guy's a drug user, and you're not doing anything to get him off the streets, but you are.
But we try.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes that the general public does not see.
Yeah, and
I'm trying to give you credit here, Kyle. Well, take it.
But here's the thing. There's frustration on our part as well.
We're
not immune to the reality. I mean, that's just
you how it don't is. Enjoy arresting somebody three times for the same charge.
Not at all. And it doesn't solve anything.
No.
Like, it just doesn't. So no. I would much rather, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, I think, was I would much rather see people clean, recovered, enjoying their life,
yes,
with their kids, with their family members, contributing positive things to our community because our community needs it. I would much rather see that than come in on a Monday morning and see our arrest log. We don't throw high fives around the office when that stuff happens. So, you know, it is what it is. And I get it. The public is frustrated with those things. And we're just as frustrated. But there's steps that we have to take legitimately to make an impact as much as we can. And sometimes we see those results and sometimes we don't. A lot of times, you know, Lieutenant Cox will brief me on these where he'll make an arrest. And literally within days, he's like, there's a new name. And this name has taken over that person's role in our community. And
because going back to money makes the world go round.
There's money involved, and there's money, and there's an addiction need that needs to be fulfilled, and it's our job to at least try to make an impact on that. So
if you can get somebody, well, I mean, you get somebody addicted, that's a guaranteed, what you just said, $40 every. Yeah.
Whenever they need it.
Yeah. I don't know how long $40 lasts you. I mean, is it like a box of wine for me? Like, it lasts me a week?
Yeah, I don't know. How big's your glass?
Well, it depends on the day. Yeah, like, it depends on the pour. It depends on what happened.
Is it a mega pint?
No, I get a box.
Okay.
You can ask Alex over at Stark Sports Shop. They keep Boda Box in stock for me very nicely. It lasts me about a week.
That's good.
It depends.
Yeah.
Depends on
the event.
On the day, what's been going on, how big the pour becomes.
Right, right.
So yeah,
it's very similar.
I
guess it's similar.
It would be the same. But again, you know, I'm $20 to Starks.
I think you're more than that.
I think I'm more than that. Probably more than that. I think I'm more than that. But to a dealer.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, if I keep getting you the good stuff, you keep coming back.
Yeah.
Where's the world go round?
It's a.
I'm going to keep contacting you to come get more because I need to move my product.
Yeah, and there's money involved. And
exactly.
You know, I want to make money. I want to get rid of the product that I have and get more. So.
Yeah. So if I'm not trying to defend users of, you know, drugs, but it's a vicious cycle once you get in there. It's not just your addiction that's on your back. It's also dealers
and
friends that are going, hey, let's go get a hit. Let's go get a hit. The dealers contacting you. I mean, that's got to be a very vicious cycle.
Yeah, definitely. I have folks that talk to me as friends, as people that I've arrested before that that confide in me their struggles and their accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And they tell me, hey, I'm tired of this person texting me, telling me they have stuff. Could you please go arrest them? And that happens. That's a real conversation.
I'm laughing because, can't imagine that cycle.
Yeah, and so there's a frustration on their level because they're like, why aren't you doing more? And yeah. I'll take that shot. That's we own that, right? There's always more to do. But at the same time, there's a constitution. Mm-hmm. We have to protect people's constitutional rights, whether you're the suspect or you're the victim. We have to protect those rights. And there's a process that we have to go through in order to get that warrant for that house and that storage unit or wherever. And
there's probably a lot of man hours that went in pre-search warrant.
Can't even imagine.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just they happened upon this house. Let's go try and get a warrant.
No, definitely not.
So thanks. We answered lots of questions. The only question I don't think we got to is who gets to keep the cash.
Cash. Well, it's in statute, so the vast majority of it goes to a school district.
Oh.
Which is good.
Yeah.
That's good. It goes to the education. A lot of it depends on who seizes it. If it's a federal agency that seizes it, it goes through a different route. If it's a local agency that seizes it, it goes through different channels. So if it's, let's say, the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, who's a federal agency, if they seize it, it goes a different route than if a state agency or a local agency seizes it in Wisconsin.
So it goes back into the community.
Yeah, the statutes in Wisconsin break down. We get a very small portion of it. It does not give us bonuses. It does not buy us helicopters.
You don't pocket it.
No, it doesn't happen that way. man. But yeah, the vast
majority. You're going on vacations after every drug bust.
Yeah, when I'm sitting on some Caribbean beach, start asking me questions.
I'm going to be like, wait, Kyle got another drug bust.
Right, no, that's not how it works. The vast majority of it goes to our school district, which is exactly how it should be.
Yes. Well, thanks so much. Our Coffee with Kyle extended version. I'll have to come up with a good one for next week. Lots of brain.
We always have something.
We always have something. There's something going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Good job, security, for you.
It is. I'll be employed for 30 plus years.
It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version from Dunkin' Donuts here in Prairie du Chien.